Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I think about the rad fatty Olympians up in London. I chat with Odile Knight about her new book, Hippos Eat Grass, Busting the Fat Myth. And I spotlight a blog from Dances with Fat about if they want a war, we're going to give it to them. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been watching a lot of Olympics coverage lately. I am particularly drawn to the gymnastics and especially to the synchronized diving. I think synchronized diving is quite possibly the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I could watch those people dive at the exact same time in the exact same way for hours and hours. It's almost hypnotic for me. I'm especially excited, though, because of the amount of rad fatty Olympians competing this year in London, specifically women like Holly Mangold and Sarah Robles, who are weightlifters for the USA. If you haven't checked them out, Google something like fat Olympians and see what comes up. You'll get a lot of stories about different Olympians who have been criticized recently for looking out of shape, quote unquote, looking fat. But you'll also pull up some great stories about Holly and Sarah, and possibly even some great stories about rad fatty Olympians from Olympics past. Anyway, check it out because it's very cool. And of course, if you're in the States, you can catch the documentary called Strong on PBS, which specifically follows one particular rad fatty Olympian and really looks into this idea of unpacking what it means to be fat, what it means to be fit. Today is Odile Knight, an astrologer and the author of the new book, Hippos Eat Grass, Busting the Fat Myth. Odile, thank you so much for coming on Friend of Maryland.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on this. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad we finally worked this out because you and I have been playing like email tag for a while trying to work out with between our schedules when you could come. And I'm glad that you're finally here.
Thank you.
So your new book is out, Hippos Eat Grass, Busting the Fat Myth. It's getting great reviews on Amazon. I have to say I definitely enjoyed it. What inspired you to produce this new book?
I think it's a combination of a love of astrology and an understanding of the deeper meaning of life and frustration with the level of discrimination and pressure there is on people to conform to a stereotype, which I think is extremely unrealistic. So it was my desire to put my knowledge into words so other people could actually see that there is a greater plan at work here and not to buckle under the pressure to be what they were never created to be.
I really like, the title of your book because, you kind of talk about how, like, hippos are obviously, like, really large creatures, mm-hmm. And they eat predominantly grass.
That's exactly right. So and when you say it, people have this light bulb moment. I saw a picture just the other day of a little baby pig, a pygmy hippopotamus and its mother, aww. And its favorite food is lettuce.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't equate with our very what I call a faulty equation,
right.
That what we eat creates how we look. I think that's a very naive notion, and as an astrologer, I know that's a faulty notion.
Well, the other thing that I like, though, about the comparison is that quite often something that I'll hear from kind of the mainstream whatever is this idea that, like, obesity is an unnatural state. That like this kind of fatness is, you know, whatever, like it's an abomination or a deviation.
Yeah, that's nonsensical. As an astrologer, if I do a birth chart before I actually see a person, I can pretty well have a very good idea of what they will look like before they walk through my door. If you say an elephant is an abomination,
right.
I think that notion is what is abhorrent. We are created in different shapes and sizes, and that is the beauty of the universe. We relish it in our animals. We love a panda. We love cuddly animals. And I don't know why we can't wrap our heads around the fact that people are created to be different shapes. That's what makes the universe so diverse, so varied and so wonderful.
Well,
and we're led to believe that we have to be a certain shape, and it's a thin one, and that's just totally misleading. And it's also the other misleading notion is that we create it, as you say, as an abomination by eating too much. That also is just, it's nonsense.
Well, and it's funny because we are very accepting of diversity in different other parts of life. So
Absolutely.
Heights and hair colors and skin tones. And I mean, sure, there's still the general drive of like, what is the ideal?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't then like attack and say, right, everyone has to be, you know, fall within this category or this category. And yet with body size, we're so attached to this idea that, yes, like we will not accept a range of sizes. Everyone has to fall within this, you know, acceptable range. And
yes, and I think if you understand the astrology signs, you'll find that the actual signs that are naturally a thinner or a slimmer sign are actually the more bossy signs. So they're calling the shots here, whereas the more cuddly signs are the more complacent, the nicer ones, so they don't put up too much of a fight. But they're getting very hurt in this process of not being able to accept who they were created to be. And what we're doing is creating a society of very miserable people. And until we accept that fundamental premise that people are created to be different and we really value the fact, then this situation is just going to worsen.
What I like about your book, there's a lot of things actually that I like about
Thank
your book.
You.
It's an awesome book. I like that it sits really nicely alongside a lot of other texts that I use and read quite often. So like Lessons from the Fatosphere from Kate Harding,
mm-hmm.
Leslie Kinzel's new book, Two Whole Cakes, Marilyn Wand's Fatso. So it sits nicely along those, but yours is also very distinctly different. And one of the reviews on Amazon actually specifically said that this was like a spiritual self-acceptance book. Do you think that that's... a good way to kind of classify it?
I think absolutely. One of the main premises behind my lectures is that basically when society pushes at us the concept that health is based in the physical, I think we're missing the very big picture here, because for me, health is a synthesis of the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. And what society is doing is pushing us further away from our core. So we're learning to hate ourselves rather than to accept ourselves.
Mm.
And we can't concentrate on the physical. That does not make for good health. Good health is when the spiritual is in balance, when the mind is in harmony, and when the body is at peace. And we are just excluding those very fundamental spiritual concepts.
I think that that's really important, because so much of, again, what people get wrapped up in the mainstream is this idea of like what physical health is.
Exactly.
And of course, they have a very specific idea of what physical health is. And of course, it's conflated and it's confused in and of itself, and they don't even really apply it to everyone.
No.
But it's still a very narrow kind of idea of, you know, right, physical health is what matters, and that's all we seem to talk about.
Absolutely.
And yet, of course, there are, as you've mentioned, so there's mental health, and there's spiritual health, and there's emotional health, and it's
and
a much more holistic idea.
And what we're doing with all this pressure is pushing them out of balance, totally out of balance. And I was, in my previous decades, was a school counselor and a teacher. And it really grieves me to think what we're doing to our children until we can push this premise of acceptance, the bullying, the lack of tolerance of people is just going to continue. And when we have this idea that exercise in the physical body, if you understand astrology, the four elements there, the only one that really likes exercise is the fire signs. That's Sagittarius and Gemini, and those ones, they get into exercise, they love it. The other signs, they're mental signs, they're feeling signs, they have a completely different energy that they're coming from. So to try and push these people who don't have a natural inclination towards those areas is to work against their better interests. You have to understand more the meaning of the universe, and then you can go with the flow and go towards full health. Total health.
So what other ways do you see, not what other ways, like what other things from your area of astrology can be kind of brought maybe into the larger kind of mainstream fat acceptance and fat activist movements in order to help us kind of better understand how to promote, you know, self-acceptance for people and body love and those types of things?
Well, I think, you know, as I was preparing my lectures, I started to have these light bulb moments where it was just, I mean, quite amazingly fundamental in many ways, that if you think of the zodiac signs and you think of the animals that represent them, if you're looking at a goat or a ram, it's a naturally thin animal, and people born with those energies, and it's not just the sun sign. Doing a chart is a very complicated issue. There's a lot of factors at work when you're ascertaining a character or a body shape. There's other signs if you think of the zodiac again. I mean, one of the chubbier signs is Libra, and if you think of the what represents it, it's the scales. It's people having to watch the scales constantly because their body weight does fluctuate. And then you think of signs like Cancer or Taurus, the bull, it's a naturally heavy sign. So people who are born with a lot of those influences are going to be naturally shaped as larger. And that's what guarantees the diversity in our society. So it's a very complicated issue, but once you understand it, you'll realize why 98% of people who diet put the weight back on, because it's not their fundamental shape.
So if someone wanted to learn more about the work that you do, obviously they can go buy your book, which is available on Amazon.com, which is where I buy most of my stuff. Is there anywhere else that they can go learn more about your work?
Well, they can come on a cruise with me.
Well, sure. Let's all sign up for a cruise.
We can all go on a lovely cruise because at the moment I'm lecturing on board the lovely cruise ships. I am going to look. The book, as I said, is available on Amazon. It's also available on Kindle or through. You can download that Kindle onto any computer. At the moment, I have yet to get it into bookstores. My next step is that it will be more accessible. So hopefully the word will get out there. My work on weight with astrology is fairly new in the field, and I think it's a very, very interesting new perspective, and it will help people to see the truth behind the subject of weight.
Well, excellent, Odile. Thank you so much for coming on Friend of Maryland today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, and I hope the word gets out there.
I hope so, too, and I hope to join you on one of those cruises soon.
That would be wonderful. I really look forward to it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Spotlight today is a piece by Regan Chastain from the blog Dances with Fat. The piece is entitled, They Want a War? Let's Give Them One, and was published on May 15th of 2012. Quote, like it or not, fat people are at war. I'm not hyperbolizing or dramatizing. If you don't believe me, Google War on Obesity. HBO recently premiered its new documentary series, The Weight of a Nation. On the premiere page, it says, obesity in America has reached a catastrophic level. Almost every aspect of our lives is threatened. The first step towards ending the damage is learning how to fight back. I spend a lot of my time politely asking people to stop, please stop, oppressing me. I don't apologize for that, nor do I begrudge it. It's proven to be a very effective way to create change, and I think that people deserve to be given the benefit of the doubt and the support they need to shift their thinking, and it's a reasonably pleasant form of activism. I will continue to do it. But I also have to acknowledge that there is a war being waged against me because of how I look, by people who have been given every opportunity to know better. In concert with HBO's documentary, I received a tweet letting me know that Kaiser Permanente is launching the, quote, most aggressive anti-obesity campaign in history. They know that there are healthy fat people and unhealthy thin people. They know that not a shred of research shows that any method of weight loss works in the long term. They know that research shows us that we can vastly increase health by providing access to healthy foods, safe movement options, and affordable and free evidence-based health care. Nobody is obligated to be healthy or thin. However, I wonder how many people would make different choices if they knew that they just need 30 minutes of moderate movement 5 days a week. If they knew that people who chose simple healthy habits have very similar health outcomes regardless of weight. What would people choose if they knew they could abandon the goal of weight loss completely and they could still pursue health? America could be a successful role model for giving people access to health, but instead they are choosing to be a failed role model for thinness, waging war on people based on their appearance for tremendous profit and actively blaming the casualties of the war for the war's massive failures. Let's be clear, they are pathologizing a body size. It doesn't matter if they say that we need to seek solutions environmentally instead of at the individual level, or if they say that we should have compassion for fat people. They are still telling people that it is not okay to exist in fat bodies, and that they should seize fat bodies as a threat to America. There are tons of thin people who eat unhealthy foods and are sedentary, which is completely their right. But as long as the government is concerned, as long as you're thin, you're part of the solution. Feel free to do whatever you want. They want people to look at me and you, if you're fat, and think, she is part of a catastrophe. She is threatening almost every aspect of our lives. The first step towards ending the damage is learning how to fight back against her. I say that if they want a war, I will damn well give them one. The government found a group of people identifiable by how we look, allowed those with a profit interest in anti-obesity to calculate our cost to society, decided that we should be eradicated to make things cheaper, then brought together public and private interests and declared war on us. That is terrifying, and it's happening right now. It makes me think of an old-fashioned protest chant. When fat people are under attack, what do? Stand up. Fight back. How do we do that? Well, so here's what I plan to do. It is no longer an acceptable excuse that those who are waging war against me have good intentions. A war is a war, and it has to stop, however well-intentioned it may be. When I see nasty comments or hear anti-obesity rhetoric, I will not turn my back on it. I will not turn my back on myself, become sad, or question my right to exist in this body. I will place my anger where it belongs. How dare these people think that my body is any of their business? How dare they try to make me a casualty of an aesthetic war? I will not cower behind the excuse that one person can't make a difference. One person is the only thing that can. A protest of a million people is made up of a million individuals who woke up, got dressed, and got themselves to a protest. A boycott that cripples a company was successful because of each individual who chose not to buy from that company. Group success is always and only the result of individual action. I will not wait for the majority of people to get it. I don't care if people think I'm weird or stupid or deranged. The majority gets it because of the minority will lead the way. I will follow the evidence and not the everybody knows. My inspiration will be Galileo, not those who forced him to recant and put him under house arrest. They cannot have my money to fund their war. I will not participate in the anti-obesity diet culture. I will not buy any product that touts weight loss in its advertising. Maybe they will make $60 billion again this year, but none of it will be mine. I will take my money out of their wallets and stop funding the war against me. I will wield my beautiful fat body like a weapon. I will love it. I will care for it. I will move it. I will show it in public. I will viciously defend my body against anyone who seeks to classify it as anything but amazing. I'm warning everybody right now. Back the fuck off. I will speak up and speak out against anti-obesity rhetoric whenever I see it. If this war prevents fat people from getting access to the things we need and want, whether it's healthcare or fashion, I will do everything in my power to create alternative solutions while fighting for our access to mainstream solutions. Nobody is obligated to be an activist, but if you are fat, I urge you to consider a strategy to stand up and fight back in a way that works for you. If you're not fat, I urge you to join in the fight for fat people's right to exist without having a war waged against us. If not because it's the right thing to do, then because once they are done with us, you may be next. Maybe tall people cost too much because they buy bigger cars and bigger houses. Maybe big families cost too much because they drive their SUVs around to all their kids' activities. Who knows who will be next? But ask yourself if you want to live in a society where the government wages war on people because of how they look and do nothing to stop it. I am not afraid. I am not ashamed. I am at war. End quote. Closing the show is Howlin' Wolf with 300 Pounds of Joy. We'll be right back.